I'm Vice President of Services and I'm based in Philadelphia. I've been with OrgView for 5 years now, but have almost 10 years of combined transformation experience. And as Ben mentioned, I'm joined today by my colleague, Rebecca, who has over 20 years of experience in HR technology. So today is our second of our show and tell series. We'll focus upcoming ones on more specific transformation events like M&A or redeploying for growth. But today we're here to focus on data-driven transformation. So before I turn it over to Rebecca to actually show you how data-driven transformation works in the platform, we're going to talk through three things. First, why is transformation increasingly important? Second, four common mistakes we often see organizations make during this transformation journey. And third, a data-driven approach that really addresses many of the mistakes we tend to see during transformation. So transformation is a very comprehensive subject, and so I will not cover things like program governance, change management, or any of the underlying process and technology changes that need to take place to really make sure that implementation is successful. Our focus is really going to be on that workforce transformation component. Next, please. Thank you. So I think we all know that transformation is increasingly important, and I think many of us have either directly or indirectly experienced some sort of transformation event. And it's really just nice to have some data to back this up. So there's two studies done by Gartner, and 95% of HR leaders expect that some of their employees are going to work remotely after the pandemic. I know everyone's probably tired of hearing the word hybrid, but this shift to hybrid work is really a big driver of a lot of transformation efforts, and one that many HR leaders must be prepared to support. Second study here is over 500 HR leaders were interviewed, and 65% reported that executing on business transformation is a top priority for the business. This is actually up more than 10% from last year. Yet most astounding to me is the 80%. 80% of transformations fail to actually deliver on the promised benefits, which equates to almost $900 billion in wasted investment every single year. So what does this mean for all of us here in the room? So let me give you an example. Let's take Nike. So prior to the pandemic, Nike had ambitions to achieve 30% of its revenue by online sales by 2023. Now, only a few months into the pandemic, by September of 2020, they already achieved this and more. They're really able to capitalize on that shift in consumer behaviors from the traditional brick and mortar to digital. We could take any of these types of transformation examples, but for the HR professionals in the room, this is important because it really boils down to the people. It's all about the people that are ultimately going to execute on this work. So we need to start thinking about the shift in the workforce that's required to support new ways of operating. How do we think about reskilling those that are in the organization today or hiring differently moving forward? What's more important is really to have that repeatable approach so you've got the right people doing the right things at the right time. So I think one important data point that I found very interesting is that many of the corporate declines over the last 20 years have come down to mistakes made during transformation. So I'm going to focus on four. Again, this is not comprehensive, but four that I find most common in organizations. So first is really that lack of clarity on your data scope and baseline. It sounds so basic, but many companies fail to just align on that starting point and they want to jump into all the fun work, which is really doing the design. But it's really difficult to measure success if you don't know what you're measuring success against. And it takes a lot of time. It takes time sitting down with business partners, with leaders to understand, do you have the right positions, people, and scope? And is that data about those positions or people accurate? So I can give an example. I was working with a company going through a pretty significant operating model change, and as part of that, there were financial targets associated. So HR and finance had really differing views of what success looked like for this transformation program. From finance's perspective, they were measuring a savings against a budget, whereas for HR, they're looking at a headcount savings against actuals. I know they sound very similar, but there's actually very different, and you need to have a very good understanding of your open positions in the organization to really understand the latter. So what that brings us down to is you really need to have the right conversations up front to validate the data so you avoid rework later on in the process. Second, letting emotions take over. Now, this can happen really at any point during the transformation journey, but really specifically what we're talking about here is during the design process. It's hard to be objective about that future state design when you're talking about roles that many of your friends or colleagues may sit in today. The focus starts to become on Bob, instead of really talking about the work that needs to get done. And at the end of the day, it's actually a disservice to the organization and to Bob. Bob's not going to be happy in his role, and the organization's not going to get the work done in the most effective way possible. So what we really see is that when you have data-driven plans, usually there's better acceptance and engagement. So you're going to increase the likelihood of delivering those promised transformation outcomes. Third, so relying on technology that is not fit for purpose. If you think about all of the complex organizational data that you have to pull together as part of a transformation program, you might have people data sitting in your core HCM. You might have open position data sitting out there in Excel, talent data in your talent management systems, and maybe budget data from finance. These are just a few examples, but actually pulling all of this together in one central location, especially when you're trying to manage work streams across multiple countries with different regulatory requirements, it's really difficult to do using Excel and PowerPoint. It creates a lot of risk. In terms of data security, there's a lot of risk and actually manual error. You don't have that kind of clear audit trail of what changes are being made. And what I tend to see is there's more time spent on that data reconciliation than there actually is on using that data to derive insights and supporting decision making. And fourth here, I think this is a really important one. So after implementation, many companies think that, hey, we're done. This is a painful event. It's behind us. It's actually this thinking that may have led to the event in the first place. It's really important for HR professionals to be able to provide leaders with data to understand, are you on track or not? And then I think even more importantly than that, if you're not on track, what's the plan versus actual? And then how do you provide leaders with that information to actually go proactively course correct? Ultimately, you're going to get what you measure, and it's important to make sure those measures align with the organizational's goals and that they are tracked over time. So now that I've walked you through four common mistakes we tend to see, here are four steps that will improve really the likelihood of success during a transformation initiative. The four steps are see, design, plan, and monitor. Starting with C, it's really important to understand why you're going through change in the first place. And this is done by having a really clear understanding of your company's strategy and translating that into metrics, both financially and operationally, that are going to actually drive success of the transformation program. What we've seen is that transformations having aligned leadership teams tend to have 70% higher success rates than those where business leaders are not aligned from the beginning. So what's key here is to bring together all of your available data into one location to really understand how you're operating today, getting a comprehensive view of that current state. And when I say that, I don't just mean what people do you have in the organization today, but what work is being done, what are the capabilities of the organization, and what's that inventory of skills that you have. With this information being really pulled together and defined up front, it's going to be so much easier to go from current state to future state. Second is design. Typically, this is broken into two phases. So you have your top level design and your detailed team design. And what's key here is designing around the work and not around the people, as I mentioned earlier. So it's important to understand what work needs to get done in the future to deliver on your organizational's goals or strategy, organization goals or strategy, and what competencies or skills you need to do that work effectively. And then ultimately, what are the structures that you should put in place to actually execute on that work? So, during a design phase, you might start to ask yourself, are you putting in the right structures to drive your key performance metrics? once you have those broad buckets of work and the capabilities outlined for what the organization should look like in the future, you can then start doing more of the detailed team design. And what's key during this detailed design phase is transparency. So being able to play back your design decisions and say, with data, here's how our design or multiple designs differ from that baseline. And you might pick some key metrics like headcount, costs, spans, or layers, and show the difference between the two. We've found other studies that show when you actually have confidence in the credibility of analysis, especially when you're talking about changes made to the workforce, so new positions in the organization, things that will be changing, positions that are going to be removed. When you have confidence in that data, the success rates can be increased by up to 40% during a transformation. Third is plan. So once you're really clear what that future state blueprint's going to look like, then you can start thinking about the people. Up until now, it was agnostic of people, but ultimately it's going to come down to your people that will execute the work. Some are going to stay in the role that they're in today, while others may actually shift and move around. And what's key here is making sure that you have the right data to make those decisions. So when you're looking at, you know, particularly large quantities of people during a transformation, it's essential to develop these talent pools and use data to do that. It's also critical to have the selection managed in one central location so that you can not only track the decisions that are being made, but you can identify risks throughout the process. So an example of that may be, do you have top performers that are not yet placed into the future state organization? Are all of your selected candidates meeting your DE&I requirements? Do you have retirement risk or pockets of low performers in the organization? So once it's clear who is transitioning and when, then you can start to think about implementation and beyond that. Fourth is monitor. So going back to the fourth mistake I mentioned a minute ago, failure to monitor results. Many don't do it because it's actually difficult to do and difficult to get the data in one location to track this. Usually after you've gone through a really time-intensive and stressful program, it's the last thing you want to do, but it's the first thing you should start doing. Companies really need to have these data-driven mechanisms in place to understand in a proactive way, are you on or off track, and how do I make adjustments where needed? Not everything is going to be perfect the first time you go through a transformation effort. So what's really key here is to continuously be looking at the work that needs to get done in the organization, your organizational capabilities that you have, how does that translate into the skills of your people? So businesses that do this continuously, really monthly is the key here. We see them tend to be the most successful organizations. Great. So Rebecca's going to show you following this four-step process how this works in the platform, but before I do that, let me just do a quick introduction to OrgView. So OrgView is a SaaS platform, and it brings together org design and workforce planning into a single secure location. Technology is not going to solve all of the transformation challenges, but it definitely can alleviate a lot of the ones I spoke about earlier. OrgView is system agnostic. It can bring in data from different source systems, whether that be your core HCM or something like an Anaplan. And then where you may not have data, such as skill data or activity data, we have a survey tool that allows you to crowdsource and collect that. Once that's together in the platform, you can then see, design, plan, and monitor, which gives you that ability to transform your organization using a data-driven approach in a single secure location, to make sure you've got the right people doing the right things at the right time. Thanks, and we'll turn it over to you, Rebecca.
Great, thank you, Brenna. Really appreciate that intro that you gave, and we want to spend some time now going through the solution and the opportunities that you have with OrgView. So I am seeing here and looking at my organization as a whole, bringing in that data from multiple sources all together into one place so that you can see, design, plan, and monitor in your transformation successfully. So through those four steps to success, we want to start with C. So I am seeing all of my 6,800 employees here in my organization. That's a lot of people and a lot of data that I'm looking at all at once. Now, I can quickly drill down and look at particulars that I might want to see in the organization across those groups. But if I'm looking at that entire organization, I might want to understand what's happening before I start designing. That's what the C step is for, so that you can look across this entire organization based upon the criteria that you put together, the targets that you set in your organization, and to be able to see what that looks like. If I look at this entire organization with some of the visualizations that you get here at OrgView, I can quickly see patterns such as location. Where do people sit? They can sit here, for example, in sales, mostly in Philadelphia, as an example. So I want to start looking further into my organization so that I might be able to adjust things as I design. When I look at the organization across a few of my different criteria that I've set that I'm trying to meet so that we can find success based upon our organizational strategy, I first might want to look at the mix of the employees in the organization. Many organizations that we work with are looking at more of a fluid workforce, more contractors. They're, you know, it's difficult to hire right now in certain areas. So if I look at my mix of my organization, I have 91% of my employees are of my talent in the organization are employees, and 8% over here are contractors. I'm breaking this down by department such that I can see in technology of my entire population, 5% is technology, but I have close to a 50% mix of employers and employees and contractors. And that's important if I have a goal to meet on what's my mix of my employee contractor ratio. I want to look at some other targets that I've set. I've also set insight into the organization when it comes to depth, particularly in organizations where they're concerned about engagement of employees in the organization. They may want to reduce the depth of the organization and ensure that they aren't getting too deep, so the message from the strategy at the executive level is not being diluted because it's moving down too far. Also, I can see here at level 7 and 8, I have a similar number of employees at 7 and 8, so I might have a lot of one-to-one reporting going on. So that may be an area that I want to look at. And we're going to dig into that a little bit further now. When I look down here on the bottom left corner, I'm looking at span of control. So span of control through the organization is one that a lot of our customers will set up specific targets that they want to meet, aligned to the strategy in the organization, or they might just want to see buckets, as you're seeing here. So in one-to-one reporting, I have 138 managers that have only one direct report. I have concerns over that many managers with one direct report, looking at our organization. I also have 35 managers with very high teams. So that may be something concerning also. But when I look down here at marketing, 92 of my managers in marketing have one direct report. So I definitely have some areas that I want to address or look into further. As we drill further, it's not just about the number of employees, but it's also about costs. Because I may be sharing this dashboard with my executives to outline and design the organization and understand the plan going forward. So when I look over here on this bottom right corner, that depth of the organization and that span of control, I'm looking in this first column at all of my one-to-one reporting, and I'm spending a little over $9.4 million on managers who have one direct report. That's a lot of funds directed in that area. And when I looked up here, I have 7 and 8 in the organization as depth, where it seemed to be a lot of one-to-one reporting. If I were to shore up these groups here and understand more, I can save $2.6 million. Not all of those positions might be closed, but I can look at that and see where there may be some cost savings, and also at level 6 with an additional $4 million. Those are just some areas that I might want to look into while I'm in my C mode of the organization and looking at what's happening. Let's move on to design. So as I move into step 2 in the process that Brenda was mentioning, I'm going to start to design the organization for the future. Many of our organizations that we work with are in retail and a lot of other verticals or markets, But in retail, in the example that she gave earlier, as you can probably see out there today, a lot of organizations are moving more to a digital presence and an online presence, and not as many brick and mortar stores. So in this example here, I'm going to expand my organization somewhat in marketing. I have my chief marketing officer. I have Latin America. I also have EMEA, APAC, and North America. So I have these different groups out here. One of the things that I would like to do with all of these groups is I would like to create an omni-channel and pull all of my channels groups together into a centralized business work. So I'm going to go ahead here under my chief marketing officer and actually create a brand new position out here. This position is going to be an SVP of the omni-channel. And this position is going to take place and start on July 1st of 2022. That's where we're at today. And this is going to be in marketing. Now, a lot of this information, I can have it automatically populate, including the cost of this position. We're going to add in that that's a $400,000 cost, maybe it's grade 7, and the location. We had a lot of salespeople sitting in Philadelphia, so maybe I want this position to exist in Philadelphia. And again, as I said, a lot of this can populate. We can use data coming in from finance or from payroll to determine what those cost structures need to be and have it automatically populate that. When I create this position now with an org view, you have this great environment where you can work and model, and you're not affecting that core system and accidentally updating something in your core HR system. Now I have that new SVP of Omnichannel sitting here. So I want to go ahead now and I want to take all of my different VP of channels here. What my VP of channels in Latin America, in EMEA, my VP of channels in APAC, and my VP of channels over here in North America. There are four different VP of channels I've selected, and I'm going to move them to now report under that SVP Omni channel. Simple and easy, something that probably takes weeks or months to do in Excel, because not only am I moving those leaders, I'm preserving the children and moving their teams with them. I don't have to. I could reparent them or move them somewhere else, make lots of changes while I'm doing this. But I can apply this change and it moves all of those individuals over now under this new SVP of Omnichannel. Now, one other move I want to make and show you very quickly here is the opportunity to make some additional changes. If you see this action up in the upper right-hand corner, the actions allow me to quickly go and track all of those specific changes I'm making. Really important for change management going forward, but also so that you can quickly and easily understand the why behind why you're doing that. I could take one of those VP of channels that might not be making the same amount as the others and give them a grade increase, and it can take their as-is cost or salary and look up where that might be with a grade increase and update that costing structure by that $59K or that $55K on this example here. So I've made some modeling changes at this micro level. The important thing is to be able to share this with my executives. Help them understand how much we're saving, 1.1 million in positions closed, and how much we're spending on new positions being opened. To be able to understand what those costs are and have that conversation. Also understanding the impact to the organization and the teams. So understanding that you can see by the size of the teams here, the impact of changing these leaders and moving these individuals. I've been working here in marketing. Now, if I look at the entire organization as a whole, you can see that all together here at once. And you can see I've only been working in marketing. I've only made changes there. But that's because I have leaders in operations and supply chain working on their part. And I can quickly and easily pull in the work that they've been doing and visualize that pretty quickly and easily. And we have a great security system that doesn't let me stay in the system for too long and let it sit. So I'm going to pull that in. Now I see all of the changes here across the organization. And so I can quickly see all of those changes, but more importantly, not just the changes across here, but the impact at that high level across the organization to all those costs. I now have $5 million in spend and $6 million in spend for savings and spend. I've done something in a matter of seconds that takes weeks and months to do in PowerPoint and Excel. Many of you have 25, 30, 40 spreadsheets you're trying to do this in. Another important part is being able to do this over time and to quickly see all of those changes over time, months to months. So with those different actions that you were seeing earlier and all of those changes, my new positions here that I'm adding to the organization are all happening in August. I may not want that in August. I need them up and running by August. So I'm going to move this back to May and quickly change the time frame for all of those positions in one fell swoop. And now I can have them on board and up and running. And you may build in other things like time to fill and things like that. Now let's go ahead and move forward because we don't have a lot of time together today. But the next step of the process is the people. We've been working on the organizational work and where that needs to happen. But the people are just as important. The people in the positions today, what are the stages as you identify where they're going to go? And you can identify these stages that work for your organization. I'm going to look at technology really quickly here and understand what we're doing in technology and find people in technology to quickly fill these different positions. I can slate them, select them, and I have some positions here that I'm concerned about that I want to fill quickly. I can search for particular people in the organization and find ones that might align to those positions. So I can look for a department and look for that department in a certain area of the organization, such as technology. And I can also look for a grade level. They need to be a leader, so they need to be at least a grade 7. And maybe performance is important to me too. So I need that to be greater than or equal to 4 as a performance level. I might want to group this by location because I don't want anybody to have to relocate. And so I can search and find the people that I'm looking for. Now, this position is in Toronto, so I'm going to take all 3 people in Toronto and move them over here and add them to my selection list. I can grab all 3 people and determine that I want to put them in as a slated individual. And that's because of the performance, the strong performance they've had, and add any comments I want. Like maybe they play the trumpet really well at the holiday party. Not really what I want to put in there, but just try and make this fun today. So now I can add all of those people. They've been added to the list and they're part of my choice there. Now, the next important thing is to be able to go in and see this and monitor going forward, to monitor how we're doing against our actuals and see that against our plan, to be able to understand where we're course correct, where we need to course correct because we're getting off track. And then I also want to be able to share these dashboards with my executives on how we're doing. I can quickly see we're off plan by 17%. That's a lot, almost 20%. And I can see here, if I filter down, that where I'm off plan, supply chain is the group that is off plan more than anybody, and they're off by 25 persons. So I might want to drill further into that detail. And we have all that detail for you at your fingertips because your executives are going to ask you that when they see those first graphs. Where is this happening? And why are we off plan by those 25 plus the current 7 more? And so where I'm off plan, the close date has passed by 7 people, which means we paid for their salaries for an additional month or more for 7 people and other unplanned changes. I know we've ran out of time, that we've only had a short amount of time together, but we wanted to cover C, design, plan, and monitor with you and give you a taste of what OrgView can give you and the opportunities in front of you utilizing OrgView.